not optimistic that the newspapers hear about a deal being reached. One paper says there's a 90% likelihood that Steve Witkoff's visit won't change anything. Moscow and Washington are far apart. Moscow's chief diplomat in inverted commas, is the Russian army.
President Trump's threatened Russia with severe tariffs that could also hit countries that buy Russian oil. CBS News has obtained new information about Trump administration meetings with Jeffrey Epstein's co-conspirator, Ghislaine Maxwell, last month. CBS's Jake Rosen.
In her interview with the Justice Department, Maxwell did not implicate President Trump in Jeffrey Epstein's misdeeds and said nothing that would harm the president, according to a source familiar with the contents of the interview.
After that interview, Maxwell was moved to a minimum security prison in Texas. President Trump says he knew nothing about the transfer. Federal employees don't have to make lists of five things accomplished each week anymore.
The Office of Personnel Management is ending the requirement, which was started by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, in February. He warned those who didn't answer the emails could lose their jobs. Still, several agencies told their workers to ignore the emails. Even President Trump was unsure of the requirement at the time.
It's somewhat voluntary, but it's also, if you don't answer, I guess you get fired.
The OPM director says in a statement, it's the job of managers to know what their team members are working on. Michael Wallace, CBS News.
Satellite images show smoke from the wildfires in California creating unhealthy air as far away as Las Vegas. Planes continue to drop retardant on the flames of the largest fire in Los Padres National Forest, north of L.A. CBS's Jason Allen says it's burned through more than 100,000 acres with no sign of slowing down.
The separation between black and green on the hillside is where firefighters have cut big fire breaks and use retardant to stop it here. But no sooner do they do that, the wind kicks up and the fire just pops up again somewhere else.
Fire officials fear this week's heat wave could make matters even worse. Meta's cracking down on WhatsApp scams. Tech contributor Ian Schur.
Meta has frequently said that it uses a variety of tools, including artificial intelligence, to try and sniff out a scammer on the platform. And now WhatsApp says that it's going to start prompting people to be wary of when they're added to a group chat of people they don't know.
Dow futures are up 41. This is CBS News.
Eggland's Best, the only eggs with more fresh and delicious taste, plus superior nutrition. Eggland's Best, better taste, better nutrition, better egg.
Local news on WRJN is brought to you hourly by Conventional Concrete Systems. Top-notch work with a beautiful finish. 262-206-3168.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The noon expiration should be the end of the smoke, for now. An air quality advisory is in effect through noon as smoke from Canadian wildfires continues to impact the area. Conditions should start to improve by this afternoon, and officials don't expect to extend the advisory again. The Sturtevant Police Department currently has about a dozen full-time officers. If one plan goes through, it'll be down to none. The Village Board is weighing a proposal to disband that force in favor of contracting with the County Sheriff's Department, aiming to save money amid budget concerns. While officials with the village are talking about potential savings, the police union for those officers says switching to fewer deputies could mean fewer eyes on the streets and weaker connections in the community. A statement from that union says there should be further discussions. Tomorrow morning, the president and vice president of the Sturtevant Professional Police Association will join Don Rosen in studio for a conversation. Racine's firefighters are sounding the alarm, saying the city's refusal to bargain fairly over health insurance is pushing them into court again. After 4 years without a new contract, the union warns that stalled talks are putting both first responders and the public in jeopardy. The Racine Professional Firefighters Local 321 put out a statement saying they will keep fighting in court and that they're urging city leaders to get back to the table. With $100 million in incentives for a big company in her jurisdiction, the reaction is not surprising. Kenosha County Executive Samantha Kirkman is praising the state's record offer of up to $100 million in tax credits for Eli Lilly and Company, saying it's paving the way for their $4 billion investment. She calls Kenosha County a prime location and said the deal reflects Wisconsin's rising status as a tech hub. Starting today, there will be extra frustration for some drivers. It'll be a full week-long road closure on 31 in Caledonia, with the DOT closing the stretch between Johnson Avenue and 4 Mile for sewer work. It'll last through the 13th. A detour will be in place directing traffic along 38 and Highway G. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Conventional Concrete Systems is making concrete great again as the best in the Midwest. If it's a sidewalk, patio, driveway, floor, curb, or gutter, experience matters. Their experts have you covered. Your home deserves the very best. Conventional Concrete Systems provides precision and excellence to every project. It's top-notch work with a beautiful finish that's built to last. Visit them on Facebook or call 262-206-3168 to get started today.
Another Brewers victory. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers wrapping up their series with the Braves in Atlanta. Milwaukee winning again last night, 7-2. Manager Pat Murphy says now the games get tougher.
You know, this is a game that easily, you know, when the other team leaves 14 on base and only scores two runs, they certainly didn't get the big hit. So we were fortunate. We got to look at that as, you know, we're fortunate to take advantage of some walks, but that's who we are.
NFL, the Packers signed Nate Hobbs to a four-year contract worth over $48 million, but he's not going to be in any preseason games. The defensive back says he needed surgery on his right knee after colliding with a teammate in practice last week.
I think it was Thursday's practice. It was a play. It was a collision. It was like slight little minor bump. I felt like I always, you know, something I always get. Somebody ran into me. But it turned out to be something deeper than that. So.
That's Packers defensive back Nate Hobbs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Today's writing forecast is brought to you by Hog Lawyer, the lawyer who rides at hoglawyer.com. Summer means kickstands up, and the Hog Lawyer reminds you to always ride safely. Because no matter how cautious you may be, accidents and personal injury can happen in a split second on a motorcycle. So if you're injured or in an accident, call the lawyer who rides, the Hog Lawyer, at 888-999-6644 and trust an experienced, compassionate, and aggressive attorney to protect your rights. Phone 888-999-6644 or visit the Hog Lawyer today at hoglawyer.com.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunshine today, a high near 81 degrees. Southeast winds at 5 to 10. Partly cloudy, a low of 69 tonight. On Thursday, mostly sunny, mid-80s. Upper 80s with sunshine for Friday, and the sun continues on Saturday. We will brush 90. It's 64 at our
studios. Occasionally there's that person that brings their own cup to Starbucks.
I have my own cup.
Yeah, so do we. They're at home. Let me understand this. You have your life together enough to bring your own cup, but you can't make your own damn coffee? No. You stand there. You just stand. All the chairs are taken. Because Starbucks is not only a coffee shop, it's also an upscale unemployment office. Filled with students, people on conference calls. There's always that one guy that set up his office in Starbucks. Can you move your fax machine? It's packed. It's like the opposite of Dunkin' Donuts. You walk in Dunkin' Donuts, you feel like you're entering an active crime scene. Shelves are bare, there's no employees around. Are you guys even open? Did I just break in? I don't want to touch anything, leave my DNA.
Okay, we're talking about school bus safety today, part of our discussion every month about the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission. And, of course, school is starting in September, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, September 2nd.
And so we're talking about that today. Get you all set up for it. John Strack is here. He's from the Racine Unified School District Transportation Supervisor for the school district. And that includes buses. Now, you heard me earlier today. Move a little closer. I want to hear everything you have to say. You heard me earlier today said, you know, I took a school bus when I was in kindergarten, but that's it. That was the last time I was on a school bus. And I said, they haven't changed much. Now you said, yes, from the outside, they haven't changed much. Sure. What's changed on the inside?
The outside portion of a bus is relatively stayed unchanged. The inside of the bus, however, when it comes to technology, has been highly integrated now. Safety and security is now foremost. There were chassis designs that were changed in the 80s due to accidents that had happened across the nation. So they made chassis changes to make the bus more durable and safe should something end up happening. I think, had mentioned the school bus seating earlier this morning. And the seating has pretty much stayed the same since the 80s and 70s. They have compartmentalization, where the seats are now more padded to protect the students should something happen. Some school buses are incorporating seatbelts. But the biggest changes have come in the driver's area in terms of being able to visually see more of what's going on around the school bus to provide for safety and the driver's comfort while they're having to drive these long hours.
I would last 9 seconds as a bus driver because the first kid that acted up, I'd stop the bus and get out. 9 seconds, I'd be fired in that job. You got to have the patience of a saint because, you know, these are kids. They're little kids, and some of them are kindergartners, some are first graders. Not that the high schoolers are much better. But they act up, they're excited, they're running around, throwing things at each other, fighting, whatever. And you got, how many, you get 50 kids on a bus?
You can have anywhere between, well, from very little up to about 80.
80. How do you control 80 kids, especially if they're young kids?
Well, and I mean, this is one of the things that we work with First Student, and they have incredible drivers who are dedicated. We have career drivers, people who have driven for 35 years, 40 years in support of the students. And their first priority always is to make sure the bus is getting from point A to point B safely. They have to drive, but yet they also have to be aware of what's taking place on the bus. So they are all highly trained. They are wonderful individuals who truly care about the children that they drive.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't put up with it. I mean, fighting and the screaming and the hollering and the throwing things. And I'm not saying that happens a lot, but it can happen.
Yes, it can.
And you're at the mercy when you're driving a bus of other people on the road. And you hear these horror stories. It's rare, but you hear them where the bus had an accident because some trucker or some car got in its way. And I mean, it does happen, but you're dealing with, as my father would say, precious cargo.
Absolutely.
This is it. And before we get to all the stuff from the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission, this always comes up when we talk about buses. It comes up with the seatbelts.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I was told. A lot of the buses, or you say some now have them, but most buses don't have seatbelts. In an emergency, you couldn't start unbuckling 50 kids if, God forbid, there was an accident. I mean, starting to unbuckle 50 children would take so long if you, you know, and they said, you know, four across the entire bus. And I'm told that's why. But then people say, well, if it gets into an accident, they're like little lotto balls flying all over the bus because they hit the ceiling and everything. So which is worse, buckling them in or not buckling them in? It's a good question.
Yeah. And that is a question that's being discussed all across transportation when it comes to it. I'm part of the National Association of Pupil Transportation, and there's two sides of that. The difficulty is if you notice, most buses are top heavy anyway. So if they do roll, just like in your car, if you happen to roll your car, the pressure of your own body will make unbuckling the seatbelt almost impossible. Because the weight against that buckle will hold you in the seat. You will not be able to. You have to actually cut yourself out. They actually sell little things that you can cut yourself out of the seatbelt. But with a school bus, like you said, if you have 50 to 80 passengers and it rolls, one of the demonstrations I saw was that they took an older school bus and they had it catch fire. And within 3 minutes, the entire bus is completely engulfed in smoke that you cannot see through the bus. And within five, the entire bus can be in flames, depending on what's inside, coats, backpacks, all those things.
Just easier to open the back door instead of pushing all the kids out the back door.
Well, a bus drivers have very limited time to get the children out. And if the bus rolls, just as you had said, how do you get through all of those seatbelts in a reasonable period of time? Because that precious cargo has to get out of the bus as safely and as quickly as possible.
I don't know. I couldn't do the job.
Yeah.
I would be anxiety ridden the entire time. You're dealing with so many people that you're responsible for. You're like the pilot on a plane.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're responsible. But the pilot, you have adults on a plane. And this late lady, I mean, they act like kids sometimes. But with all these kids, and they're excited, and they're, making noise and telling on each other.
Well, and this is one of those things that's important also for parents to, it's not only important to teach your children how to get from home to the bus stop and back safely. It's also important to teach them what to do once they get on the school bus, getting to their seat quickly, getting to their seat and staying in their seat, not throwing items around the bus.
And here's another big one. Get out to the bus stop on time. Don't make the bus driver wait for you.
Yeah, 5 minutes early is what we ask in our school district. I know there are other districts in the area that say 10 to 15 minutes early. That doesn't mean the bus will be there, but it's better that you're there early so that way, if it is running a little bit ahead of time, you can get on the bus and then keep the time flow going for everybody else to be at.
I knew a bus driver, school bus driver, and occasionally they had to park their bus empty at like a shopping center area. And I said, what are you doing that? Because if there's an emergency and the bus doesn't work, I pull right out and take over.
Yep.
So there's always backup buses sitting all over town. They look like they're doing nothing, and they are doing nothing, but they're waiting in case there's an emergency where the bus engine stops. They got to pick up all the kids, and they're ready to go.
Yes, we have three standby buses at all times, ready to go in case something just like that happens.
Yeah, and it does happen. Engines break and, tires go flat. All right. This is from the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission. If you go to their website, racinecounty.com/staying safe, you'll see what I'm talking about here. Well, that's good. They wrote white on light gray. Let me see if I can read this here. Okay. Who did that? The law requires school buses in Wisconsin to have flashing amber lights. Boy, that's hard to read. Do you see that?
Yes.
Hold on, I got to get right up to it. Used as a warning to drivers that the bus is preparing to stop. I didn't realize that. So the lights start flashing before they stop.
Yes. When you see the yellow lights, what will end up happening is the yellow light is a warning. It lets you know that just like with a yellow light, you need to prepare to stop. And in some cases, our school buses, by law, can only activate their yellows. This happens in areas they will not ever flash their reds or put out a stop arm. In a neighborhood that has curbs on both sides of the street and sidewalks on both sides of the street, the only difference is Sturtevant does have an ordinance that allows it. But for city of Racine,
why wouldn't the stop sign come out on the bus?
Because when there are curbs and sidewalks on both sides, all the other communities in our area have said that the school buses cannot put them out due to flow of traffic. We always make sure that those stops will be what are called right side stops.
Mm-hmm.
So the students don't need a stop arm to cross them, but they may have to go down, cross at a stop sign or a stop crosswalk and come back to where the bus is. When the yellow lights are flashing, you need to be prepared that there could be children in the area. However, when the reds come on, that's when you need to stop.
I didn't realize that. I thought that every time they open that door to let kids out, the stop sign comes out.
No, not necessarily. When we get further along on the website, they'll actually talk about that as well.
When children are getting off the bus, they should walk straight ahead and move at least 10 feet from the bus. Yeah, they should, but you're dealing with little kids, and they don't always do that.
Right, and the proximity is extraordinarily important. There have been some absolutely heart-wrenching stories, even in the state of Wisconsin, where students have crossed too close to the bus, the driver cannot see them because of the hood or the chassis that's in front of them or behind the bus. And that does cause issues as well. There is now a safety device. We're just talking about additions. You'll see a giant sweep arm that comes out in front of
the school bumper.
Buses. Yes. Yeah. And it comes out and it forces the children to walk around it. Again, teach your children that isn't a toy. You don't try to limbo under it. You don't try to do anything. Go around it because it provides that the driver can see it. And the student should never cross until they make eye contact with the driver and the driver signals that it's safe. Because, unfortunately, there are people that are distracted or are in a hurry and not paying attention or following the law and will buzz past buses that are stopped. And we need to ensure the student's safety. Students have been hit by cars, and they need to make sure that the driver has looked and seen that both sides of the traffic have stopped and then signaled the child if they do need to cross.
The front of the bus, the most dangerous area within the danger zone, a number of blind spots which the driver cannot see small children. It's a big thing, a bus.
Yes.
I mean, sometimes you can't see the front of your car, or if you have an SUV, it's tough. Imagine having a school bus.
Well, with your car, think about a toddler. You know, if you have a toddler playing in a driveway near your car,
you can't see him in the back rearview mirror. Them. Yeah, you can't see him. Children must be educated to move forward away from the bus until they can see the bus driver's face. There, the bus driver can see them as well. Right. If he can see you, you can see him.
Yep.
That's good advice. A passing car cannot see a child since the large bus hides the children from sight of the vehicle. You would think if you saw a school bus stopped, you would slow down and take extra precautions just in case the kid darts out. I mean, they'll do it sometimes. I mean, this is suggested, and but you're dealing with little kids. They don't follow the rules all the time. They're excited. They're home. They run out in front of the bus. I mean, slow down.
Well, and they also talk to their friends. So they'll be looking at each other and not into the road. So that's, again, where the driver will signal them to let them know that they see that all traffic has stopped.
Small children are in danger in the back of the bus since the bus driver cannot see these children at all. Yeah, if they get off the bus and they want to cross in the back of the bus, you can't see them.
Yeah.
Can't even see an adult back there sometimes because the bus is high.
And especially the back right-hand side of a school bus, that zone from where that tire is all the way around to the middle back of the bus is the most dangerous area on the back half of the bus just because of the way the mirrors are aligned to see cars. It creates a blind spot back there.
We talked about this briefly, but red lights versus yellow lights on the bus.
Yes. Again, the yellow lights are a warning or an activation to let you know that the bus is going to stop. If you see a bus stopped with yellows, that does not mean that as a driver that you need to stop, but you do need to proceed with caution. Reduce your speed. Be more aware of what's going on around you and what's going on around that bus. As you were just saying, Don, a child can go zipping out or they'll be talking to their friends. They're not really paying attention as much as they should. The driver needs to take responsibility for their vehicle.
Yeah, these kids are like 5, 6, 7 years old. Yep. I mean, think about that. And the red light, you got to stop.
Yeah, now the red lights always cause some confusion about this time of year. When I see a bus with a stop arm extended and flashing red, when do I have to stop? Well, if you're behind the bus, no matter what lane you're in, you need to stop. If you are traveling the same direction as the bus, if those red lights are activated and that stop arm is out, you need to stop. You need to stop behind the bus until that stop arm goes away. It becomes a de facto stop sign for our intersection right at that moment.
I can't tell you how many times I see people go right past it.
Right.
I see we have a stop sign here on Victory Avenue. I'll go out and poke my beak out the door every half hour or so to get some fresh smoke in my lungs. And from outside, all my life, I never smoked a cigarette. All of a sudden, I'm smoking Camels every time I breathe out there. They just blow the stop sign.
Yeah.
Because they figure it's early in the morning. No one's there. It's just like it didn't exist.
Right. And or they're distracted or they're texting or whatever.
They don't want to stop. Yeah. I think I know what's going on out there.
Now, the one thing to be aware, though, is if you are approaching a bus from the other direction.
Right. Yeah.
If you are on, let's say, a 2 or a 4-lane road with no divider in the middle of it, And by divider, I mean something that you cannot, that you are able, a divider is something that you cannot drive over, whether it's like grass with curbs or things along those lines. If you cannot drive over it, it's considered a divided highway, and you do not need to stop on the other side.
A boulevard, yeah.
Yeah. Now, if there is no divider in the middle of that, or just painted lines that you could drive over, all sides need to stop. So if you're approaching it, and this does happen, especially in our community, when you think about Green Bay Road, there are portions of Green Bay Road that are just painted lines. And if there's a bus on the right side and you're coming from the other direction, if it's just painted lines, even in that area, you need to stop if that bus is in the other area. But if it's a physical divider, you do not need to stop if you are approaching from the opposite direction.
A driver, a vehicle, meeting, let's see, meeting from earlier direction, a stopped school bus with flashing red lights may not proceed until the flashing red lights have stopped. Vehicle drivers proceeding in the opposite direction, like you were saying, on a divided highway, need not stop for a school bus with flashing red lights. Divided highway is a highway, obviously, with permanent structures in the middle, but talking about a boulevard where there are curbs and grass growing in the middle. How about the red lights may not flash a school bus loading area when the bus is entirely off the traveled portion of the road? This I never knew this red flashing thing until you told me this morning. Drivers need to stop in a residential or business district where students or other authorized passengers are being loaded or unloaded. The sidewalks with curbs are present on both. Wait, instead of me just reading this, you explained this before. If there are curbs on both sides, you can't use the stop sign. I never knew this.
No, there's actually ordinances in the city of Racine that prevent that from occurring.
I never knew that. I always thought you stop, your door opens, the stop sign comes out automatically.
No.
It doesn't do that.
No.
Huh?
No, the drivers have to activate that. They have to be aware of it as well. Oddly enough, if it's on a one-way street, it is allowed in certain areas to have the stop arm extended. But the, that's the ordinance in the area. Like I said, Sturtevant does have an exception to that. They have a different policy which allows the stop arm to be extended.
You live and learn. Special education bus on a one-way street where a sidewalk and curb are laid on both sides of the road and the student needs to cross the road. They shall use the flashing red light. So for special ed students, then they can use it.
Yes, they
can. Is that
everywhere? On one-way streets.
Is that everywhere?
On one-way streets. It's very, very specific.
Man, who knew these rules even existed?
The one thing I would like to say is that also with this, and it's not on the website, but parents need to teach their children how to safely get to and wait at a bus stop as well. And ensure that your children are back from the curb, not playing tag, pushing each other, shoving, you know, being kids. But stay back from that curb because anything can happen in that area. You have cars passing before the bus is coming. You have cars that may be swerving if they see a bus stop in front of them and they weren't paying attention. The kids actually need to get to the bus stop and at least remain somewhat aware of what's going on in their area. Teach your children to be safe.
I was always a good kid. I never misbehaved. My daughter's first day of kindergarten, we lived in Brown Deer. And the first day of kindergarten, we're all waiting for her when she got off the bus at the end, coming home from school on her first day. She wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Panic, like you wouldn't believe, set in. She got off on the wrong stop. So I went with the neighbor kids, and we traced this. And there she was, frozen on a street corner where she didn't recognize anything. She was, 5 years old. She didn't recognize anything. And she's just frozen with her little new dress on, with her little school bag, just standing there on the corner waiting for help to come. I felt terrible.
It's terrifying.
I know. She didn't get off the bus.
And as a student.
Yeah. I had a guy named Mr. Clancy was my bus driver. I only had the buses in kindergarten. The rest of the time I had to walk. And Mr. Clancy was also a firefighter. He worked for the volunteer fire department. And he was no nonsense. But he was the nicest guy, Mr. Clancy. But there was no nonsense on the bus. He would just turn around and give you that look. Mm-hmm. He didn't say anything. but everybody behaved themselves. And he was just a great, he taught us things about the fire whistles that blow. He was just a great bus driver. We used to love Mr. Clancy. Again, I only used him for one, you know, year on the, when I was in kindergarten, but that was it.
But that makes such a statement because these drivers dedicate their time to supporting you as a child. These years later, after you have no longer needed the bus, you still remember Mr. Clancy. You remember him in the mornings. They're the first face you see in the morning before school starts. They're the last face you see before you're going home at the end of the day.
He knew all our names.
Yeah, and that's the impact they make. They care. They're driving you to be safe. And, you know, again, to parents and to children, support your school bus drivers. Yeah. They're doing everything they can to help.
You know, to this day, I remember in the town I grew up in, two short whistles on the fire, you know, fire siren, then house fire. One long one was an emergency.
Hmm.
He told us that, and I never forgot that. That's 5 years old. You know how many thousands of years ago that was that I heard that? All right, so if you want to know what we're talking about school bus safety today, and it's on the website, the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission's website. Just go to racinecounty.com/staying safe, and you'll see everything we talked about there. John Strack, who's from the Racine Unified School District, their transportation supervisor. This is your season coming up. You got 1 month, and that's then it all starts.
Absolutely. And be aware in the community that that's the Racine Unified School District start date. However, we do have private schools that will be beginning. So the buses will be on the roads starting as soon as next Friday, August 14th.
What happened
to
summer?
Be aware.
These poor kids going. My big panic was I used to start seeing the back to school ads in August. I said, put them away. I don't want to see back to school. I said, another month. Don't start it yet, please. And I remember my mother would say, now this is like the beginning of August. We have to start getting your school supplies. No, we don't. School doesn't start till after Labor Day. Stop saying that. Thank you, John, for coming in.
Thank you.
John Strack. And this is dedicated people like you, making sure kids are safe, because once your kids go out there, they're with people sometimes you don't know.
Yes.
And make sure we get them home safe every day. John Strack from the Racine Unified School District. He's their transportation supervisor. And again, this is our monthly Staying Safe from the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission. Tom Nitter, I thank him for setting this all up. Right now, it's 7:31. Let's check our morning news. And once again, here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. An air quality advisory remains in effect until noon as smoke from Canadian wildfires continues to hang over the area. The good news, conditions should start to clear up by this afternoon, and officials don't expect the advisory to be extended. For now, that means the worst of the smoke should be behind us. There's about 7,000 people in Sturtevant with 15 police officers. Like many other communities in the state and the country, that village is aiming to save millions by doing away with the department. The move faces pushback from the local police union, who says it'll mean fewer officers on the street and slower response times. Critics question the timing of a village board meeting last night taking place during National Night Out events attended by the police. A decision is still pending. Police union leaders will discuss the issue on the Don Rosen Show tomorrow morning. Free computers for area kids. Racine County, in partnership with Microsoft, is launching a program called Connecting Racine County. It's an effort that'll give away 750 free laptops. The initiative will kick off at the 2025 Summer Youth Employment Program graduation, where each graduate will get a laptop and a free year of tech support. County Executive Ralph Malicki says the partnership helps build bridges to opportunities across all ages, focusing on education, work, and personal growth. After a fight ended in gunfire outside of a Racine bar, a 27-year-old Mount Pleasant man is facing charges. Matthew Steinhoff has been charged with attempted homicide and other offenses. Police say Steinhoff shot a man he'd been feuding with for years and endangered others nearby. Officers found shell casings at the scene, and witnesses say Steinhoff opened fire after a fight. He's now locked up and, if found guilty, could spend decades in prison. Racine's Common Council is meeting tonight instead of last night because of National Night Out. The agenda for this evening includes discussion about Woodman's asking to go beyond the city's alcohol license limit for their permit. There'll also be talk about a lease for a zoo expansion that includes an education center and a vet hospital. During public comment, you may see some members of the Racine Local Firefighter Union 321. They put out a statement last night saying they want the city to start negotiating on a new contract. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you this morning. When you get a big group of farmers together in one place, chances are that the weather and crop conditions are going to be a topic of conversation. And that's exactly what we were hearing yesterday during the Century and Sesquicentennial Farm Award Breakfast at the Wisconsin State Fair. Good news on how the crops look around the state, both from the growers as well as the official crop progress report from USDA. Market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing joins us with an update on how Wisconsin's crop ratings are holding up against the national scene.
Yeah, crop ratings continue to stay strong. Has corn 73% good to excellent nationally. Wisconsin's still holding it really well, 81% good to excellent. We got a great crop going here, at least in terms of how it looks at this time frame. Just from talking to producers around the state, they keep echoing that sentiment. Soybeans 69% good to excellent, kind of in line with what the market was thinking. Again, Wisconsin soybeans 81% good to excellent.
Market advisor John Heinberg joining us from Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. Unfortunately, a good crop outlook isn't necessarily price supportive. On the close yesterday, grain markets were lower. We'll take a look at that next.
65 years ago, Bob Steffes built a legacy, one auction at a time. Today, Steffes Group carries on that tradition, delivering trusted service with integrity you expect. From the first conversation to the final bid, we're more than an auction company. We're your partner in sharing your legacy, because here, handshakes still mean something. Visit steffesgroup.com right now for information on auctions in your area, nationwide, and to find a local representative near you. That's steffesgroup.com.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield. That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
On the close yesterday, cash corn was down a nickel and a half at 381 and a half. December new crop corn down a nickel at 402 a bushel. Cash beans were down 3¾ cents at 971 and a half. November new crop beans down 3¾ at 990¾. And cash and new crop wheat is down 8½ cents at 508¼. Class 3 milk contracts saw a rally ahead of the overnight. That meant the 40-pound block cheese was 2¼ cents higher at $1.80¼. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese. AA butter closed down 2¼ cents at $2.44 per pound. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
The weather is brought to you by Building Waters Heating and Cooling in Racine. Phone 262-989-1001 or visit them online at buildingwaters.com.
There's still plenty of warm weather on the way, so make sure that you keep it cool all summer long and phone Building Waters Heating and Cooling in Racine to take advantage of their incredible $59 air conditioning tune and clean special. That's right, for just $59, the professionals at Building Waters will make sure that your AC unit is in perfect shape all season long. They're your one-stop shop, so give them a call today at 262-989-1001 or visit them online at buildingwaters.com.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunshine today, a high near 81 degrees. Southeast winds at 5 to 10. Partly cloudy, a low of 69 tonight. On Thursday, mostly sunny, mid-80s. Upper 80s with sunshine for Friday, and the sun continues on Saturday. We will brush 90. Right now, it's 65.
I'm on a strict running program. I started yesterday. I've only missed one day so far. I'm serious about it this time. I'm serious about it. I tried cross-country skiing last year. That's a tough sport. Here's a little tip if you're going to try it. Start off with a small country. And go the width, not the length. Chile's a good beginner's country because it's only like this wide.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. No, there's no break. There's no break. There's no break, but I got you. I got you. This is not television. This is no break. This is just happening now. You're not watching television. Interesting.
It would be nice to be able to take a break, though. If you're talking to somebody and there's a laugh or a lull and you don't feel like talking, just say, I'll take a break. I'll be right back. That'd be good, wouldn't it? I think that'd be nice.
There, fun, fun, fun. It is summertime. It's 7:41 at WRJN Local News Timeless Hits. Looking for sunshine today with a high near 81, partly cloudy, lows 69 tonight. Sunshine tomorrow, highs 84. Right now, it's sunny, a little bit of smoke in the air. It's 73 degrees right here, right now at Radio Park. Well, people refer to the 2000s now as the start of the new golden age of TV, but some important shows we're on in the 90s as well. Here are some shows from that decade that really changed things around. The Simpsons. Adult cartoons were back with a little kick to them. Friends, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Seinfeld, The X-Files. They brought paranoia, science fiction, and myth-making into the mainstream. ER, Law & Order, and Beverly Hills 90210 made teen dramas a serious and wildly popular TV genre. Some big series came from the 1990s as well. At 7:42 at WRJN. The 60s. Don't you love it for music? These are the Rascals grooving at WRJN.
Grooving on a Sunday afternoon.
keep on spending sunny days this way. We're gonna talk and laugh our time away.
Grooving the Rascals, a.k.a. the Young Rascals, 745 at WRJN, local news, timeless hits. Check out this new law that just went into effect in Louisiana. It bans drivers from driving below the speed limit in the left lane on highways. So far, so good. But you can get cited or even jailed for going 1 mile per hour under the speed limit. Yeah, I'm sure that's going to help tourism in Louisiana. Could you imagine that? 1 mile per hour under the speed limit. Will they enforce it? They say they will. We'll find out. Here's Pete with the beat.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. How much is Leo DiCaprio worth? In the neighborhood of $30 to $50 million, according to Warner Brothers and Michael Mann. Mann has a finished script for Heat 2, his follow-up to his 1995 film Heat. Attached so far are actors Austin Butler and Adam Driver. Mann's ideal budget is $200 million, which Warner Brothers balked at. Mann did a revised budget for $170 million, and Warner's told him they would like it to be even less expensive. Mann's solution, according to Hollywood Insider, is to sign Leonardo DiCaprio in hopes that it will get Warners to sign off on a higher budget. The original film was a hit and starred Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Val Kilmer, and Ashley Judd. The sequel will focus on tracking down Val Kilmer's character, who escaped in the first Heat. The film is not quite a lock to get made and is currently in the very early stages of pre-production. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Today's big deal of the day. Lee's Deli, voted best ever seen year after year. Bite into bold subs like the Godfather, the Hen House, or today's mouthwatering special, the Reuben and Fries. It's not just lunch, it's a meal fit for a king, made with premium fresh ingredients that hit the spot every time. Go to WRJN.com right now, click the big deals banner, and purchase $20 Lee's Deli gift cards for just $10. Today only at WRJN Big Deals.
When you choose Hospice Alliance, you and your loved one will be at the center of a network of highly trained end-of-life professionals who live right here in Southeast Wisconsin. Their team is committed to providing the utmost comfort while ensuring the patient's dignity and well-being. If you have questions about hospice care, contact Hospice Alliance. To learn more, visit hospicealliance.org.
When words fall short, let Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha speak for you with stunning floral arrangements. For birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, and corporate events, let their breathtaking bouquets and elegant designs set the perfect tone. Include indulgent DeBrand truffles or a signature Carrie's candle featuring relaxing scents like Wisconsin Northwoods, Ocean Breeze, or Mom's Home. Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha. Enter the spacious parking lot from 75th Street just west of 30th Avenue. Open until 7 p.m. weeknights and 2 p.m. on Saturdays.
Summer is here. Get some extra cash today with an installment loan up to $2,500 from your friends at AmeriCash Loans. AmeriCash Loans is a licensed lender with locations throughout Wisconsin. Just come by the Kenosha store at 6430 Green Bay Road, right in front of Lowe's. You can also call the store manager right now at 262-605-9777. That's 262-605-9777. Or visit AmeriCashLoans.com to apply online. That's AmeriCashLoans.com. Restrictions may apply.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
W-R-J-N. lonely days and a dozen towns ago. I reached out one night and you were gone. Don't know why you'd run, what you're running to or from. All I know is I want to bring you home. So I'm walking in the rain, thumbing for a ride on this lonely Kentucky back road. I've loved you much too long, my love's too strong to let you go, never knowing what went wrong. Kentucky rain keeps pouring down, and up ahead's another town that I'll go walking through, with the rain in my shoes. To some old gray bearded men sitting on a bench outside a general store. They said, yes, she's been here, but their memory wasn't clear. Was it yesterday? No, wait, the day before. Finally got a ride with a preacher man who asked, were you bound on such a cold, dark afternoon? Drove on through the rain. As he listened, I explained, and he left me with a prayer that I'd find you. Kentucky rain keeps pouring down, and up ahead's another town that I'll go walking through, with the rain in my shoes.
Elvis, Kentucky Rain, local news, timeless hits, WRJN. Hey, you hate running? Try juggling. More and more studies have found it's good for your brain, helps with hand-eye coordination and balance, improves your posture, too. It can even burn up to 280 calories per hour. Plus, it increases your chances of getting a job in the circus if, you know, current job doesn't work out, huh? Looking for sunshine today with a high near 81 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, sunshine tomorrow. Right now it's sunny, 73 degrees right here at Radio Park. Right now I've got Sam and Dave, Soul Man. Local news, timeless hits, WRJN.
Oh!
7:55, local news, timeless hits at WRJN, Sam and Dave, Soul Man. All right, let's see what I got for you here. Have you ever screwed up a chore on purpose because you didn't want to do it anymore? And you thought, well, maybe my spouse, if I keep screwing it up, my spouse will just say, I'll do it myself. All right, a lot of people have done that. Now, according to the survey, you ready for this? 1 in 4 people have tried that trick. I think it's a lot higher than 1 in 4. The chores people have taken the longest are dusting, sweeping, and cleaning the bathroom and doing laundry. They kind of expand that out. They say, well, maybe if I screw it up, they won't have me do it anymore. Have I ever done it? Never. Never have I done that. Distinction, local news, timeless hits, WRJN. It's about a minute before 8 o'clock. Let's check our news of the morning, see what's going on.
Local news and timeless hits, WRJN, Racine, Kenosha.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile Business Advantage.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Bulldozers are clearing brush in Los Padres National Forest, north of Los Angeles, where California's biggest wildfire is closing in on mega fire status. CBS's Jason Allen is near the fire zone in Santa Maria.
The Gifford Fire continues to burn for a fifth day, consuming more than 80,000 acres in both San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties. More than 800 structures remain threatened, and evacuations are still underway.
This fire is fanning out in all directions.
Fire spokesman Fleming Bertelson, officials are worried a prolonged heat wave could elevate the wildfire risk across the state. CBS News has learned more about top Justice Department lawyer Todd Blanche's interview with Jeffrey Epstein's co-conspirator, Ghislaine Maxwell. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe is at the White House.
According to a source familiar with the exchange, she told the number two at the Justice Department that Trump, once a friend of the late child sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, did nothing in her presence that would implicate him. That revelation comes as sources say top administration officials are discussing whether to make public some of the transcript or recording of what Maxwell told Blanche.
President Trump has set Friday as the deadline for Russia to reach a ceasefire agreement with Ukraine. And today, his envoy Steve Witkoff met with Vladimir Putin for about 3 hours. The BBC's Steve Rosenberg is in Moscow.
Mr. Trump himself has doubted publicly whether further sanctions will actually put pressure, enough pressure on Vladimir Putin to change his approach to the war in Ukraine.
President Trump